many years ago when God gave to us the encouraging word, we knew what we needed to call this preaching and teaching ministry that now goes across the world, broadcasting on TBN and Daystar, WSPA, and on radio, not only here but around the world. We knew what it was about. It was about this encouraging word. Because we're living in a world where it's not politics that's going to encourage us. It's not going to be our pocketbooks. It's not going to be our wherewithal. It's not going to be our own genius. It's not going to be our brilliance. It's not going to be our organization. It's going to be this encouraging word, God's encouraging word. Because it's about Jesus.
God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on encouragement. The encouraging word. You know, sometimes a simple touch, a simple smile can be encouraging. But today we're going to go to God's Word and not only discern how it can empower and encourage us through its truth on a daily basis, but how it can turn us into encouragers. You know, sometimes the truth that what we sow is what we reap is lost on us when we realize that just that attitude may change the way we do business today, the way that we love our families or go to school today. We're here to encourage you. You can pray with us 24 hours a day on our prayer line at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or connect with us keyboard to keyboard at our website, theencouragingword.org. Now, Dr. Wilton.
I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Those of you who are with us week by week, you're going to say, what? Are we not in Acts? Yes, we are. Because Paul is about to go to Corinth. I want you to read something with me that Paul wrote to these same people after he had established the believers there, and as the church began to grow, and as he was looking back, Paul wrote these words to them. And they are dramatic words, and they're very important words. Listen carefully. This is what he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul said, "And I, Paul, when I came to you, my brothers and sisters, I did not come to you proclaiming God's word, the testimony of God, with lofty speech or with great wisdom. For I decided when I came to you at Corinth that I would know nothing among you excepting Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now watch this one. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling." I wonder why. "And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but rather in the power of God." Now I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 18. You need to be in Acts chapter 18. I wonder why Paul would have made this admission. Why would he have said this to these people in Corinth? And they're staggering statements. This is what he said. He said to them, "I'm coming to you in weakness. I'm coming to you in fear. I'm coming to you trembling." Now, if I had cause today to stand up here and say to you, "Listen up, I want you to know something, that I'm speaking to you in weakness. I just don't feel like I'm capable of dealing with you. I'm coming to you trembling. I'm coming to you in fear. I'm afraid of something." Why would he have said that? Take a look at this map with me for a minute. On the second journey that Paul is taking, we know all about him arriving in Philippi. Very interesting city. We've looked at it. We've tried to discuss it. But the thing that I want us just to remember, that it was in Philippi that he ran into a possessed young lady. She wasn't happy. She was possessed. And Paul brought the good news of the gospel, and she was delivered by the power of God. I mean, isn't that wonderful? But evidently, the people there didn't like it. So what did they do? They harassed him, they beat him up, and they threw him into prison. You know, that's really a nice way of saying thank you to somebody for bringing the power of the gospel that would deliver a possessed girl. It's a nice, awful way to be thanked. Well, you know, you've done something really positive and very nice, so we're just going to beat you up and throw you into prison. And then while he was in prison, you'll remember the power of God, the miracle of God, and he was delivered. And even the jailer came to know Christ and his household, and they still didn't like it. So they harassed him, and he had to essentially flee from Thessalonica, from Philippi, and he went to Thessalonica. And there he met with quite a bit of what you and I would call success, but he kept on. He kept on. He told them about Jesus, and they still got together, and they beat them up, and they hounded them, and they criticized them. And in fact, he had to flee, and so he went to this place called Berea. And Berea was an interesting place because he also went and he preached and he taught and he loved on people and he shared the gospel and he ministered to them in every kind of way. But these people here got restless. And here's to make matters worse. The ones that opposed him in Thessalonica heard that he was doing this in the neighboring city. And so the group in Thessalonica that didn't like him actually hounded him, got themselves together and said, let's get our campers and our motor cars and our motorbikes and let's go on down to Berea and let's give him a hard time down there. Now that's a very, very hard thing to deal with. Antagonism just followed him. And Paul was doing good. He was showing people how to become whole again and be forgiven of their sin and to receive joy. He was pointing them to Jesus. Hardly criminal. And so it is, we know the story how he got here into the boat and he arrived in Athens, and we talked about that a week ago. And you'll remember how Paul did his level best. He spent some time there. He became very acquainted with their ways and their habits. He encountered even the Stoics and the Epicureans and all these philosophies. And he understood what was going on. And in fact, he cared so much in Athens that he even agreed and he went right into the hornet's nest. He stood right there on Mars Hill called the Areopagus. This was the meeting place. This was like the Supreme Court. This was the place that carried most significance. And he stood right there and he told them about Jesus. And he met with limited success, but they didn't really like him. And so Paul set out from Athens where he just simply kept telling them. I mean, he just kept sharing. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And it seems like from one town to the next, to the next, to the next, he was just facing every kind of discouragement. You feel like that sometimes? Someone discouraged today? And so he walked, by the way, and it's exactly 53 miles from Athens to Corinth. You see Corinth right there? Corinth is an amazing city. And it's a strategic city. This is the Peloponnesian Peninsula. See this little island here? That's called the Peloponnesian Peninsula. It's an island. And it's joined over here, even today, it's joined here by a canal, a little waterway. Back, we can only imagine in Paul's time on the Isthmus. It was called the Isthmus of Corinth, right here. this little connector between this peninsula, which is huge and wonderfully beautiful with towering cliffs and waterways all along the area here, it connected this peninsula to the mainland of Greece and of Macedonia. So Corinth was a cosmopolitan city of very high significance. Now, why did I use the word cosmopolitan? What does that mean? Well, cosmopolitan in terms of a city means it was a fusion, a mixture of every kind of person you could imagine. So, for example, there were many thousands of sailors that came to Corinth because of the waterways. By the way, if you sailed around the peninsula, that is 200 miles to sail around it. 200 miles. So Corinth was filled with sailors getting off boats. And to all of you that have been sailors, I love you very much, but some sailors can be some rough customers. Can we just leave it at that? Especially when they were on sailboats back in the old days and they would get off at ports like this. These were some... let's get on to the next subject. So there were a lot of vendors, marketplace, commercial center, a lot of government people would come in here because it was very important. This was the seat of the Greek government as it was known because of the Acropolis and the Areopagus there. And many of the government officials would go down to Corinth. And I'm sorry to tell you this, Corinth was a very debauched city. Now, here's the reason why. They had an Acropolis as well. You remember in Athens, there's an Acropolis. I described it like just this big old rock, huge, massive. It's the centerpiece in Athens. You look at it every time you go there and you climb it every time. And Mars Hill is at the base of the Acropolis. Well, they had an Acropolis as well. And the temple they built on the Acropolis in Corinth, guess who the temple was dedicated to? The goddess called Aphrodite. Aphrodite, love. The goddess of love here in Corinth. Excepting there was one problem. This was promiscuous love. And Corinth was known all around the world for very immoral behavior. In fact, every day, priestesses would go up into the temple of Aphrodite and they would subvert hundreds of men who would come in there. They would make loud noise. They would dominate them. They would present themselves. They would do everything you could imagine, and they would engage in every kind of immoral behavior that you could imagine. I'm not preaching on this. You'll remember in the book of Corinthians that Paul says to the church at Corinth, women are to be silent in the church. This is why context is very important. He was speaking to the priestesses who were part of temple worship that were making this noise inside the temple. He was not saying women need to come to church and be silent. So whoever you are out there who think otherwise, you need to get a life right now. That is fake news. So here you have in Corinth, and it's very important to understand this. In fact, Paul even contradicts it, and I'm going to show you in a minute, because in Corinth, he goes to the home of Priscilla and Aquila, and he presents the co-equal partnership of their life in ministry and in work. Now watch this, folks. I want you to stick with this. This area, Corinth here, cosmopolitan, it's known as a debauched city. This is where that phrase to Corinthize, which is used as a verb or an adverb to describe an action, to Corinthize, literally was borrowed from way back in Paul's time, related to the debauchery that went on in temple worship surrounding the goddesses of the temple to Aphrodite, and to Corinthians literally means that you give yourself to very unseeming behavior and immoral behavior that in every way contradicts the law and the will of God. And here comes Paul. And when Paul arrives here in Corinth, what happened to him before he got there? He got thrown out of that city. He got thrown out of that town. He went a rough sea into Athens. He got slammed by the Epicureans and the Stoics. He got let down. He got badly treated. And finally, he goes 53 miles to boot, walks it, which is a long way, and he arrives in the city of debauchery, in the city of Corinth, where even government officials are making special trips over there. They are engaged in every kind of unethical, unholy, and ungodly behavior. And here arrives the preacher. I'd like to tell you about Jesus. So when he wrote back to them some years later, he said to them, I just want you to know, when I arrived in your presence, I arrived in fear and trembling, in weakness. I realized the only thing that mattered was that I needed to just stick to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I wanted you to know in the final analysis that everything that you know and everything that you are and everything that you ever will become is dependent only on God and not on man, not on people. He was saying, listen, in the context of all this, I'm running up against the businesses in this community. I'm running up the government. I'm running into the pocketbooks of people. I'm dealing with sailors. This thing is seen as a threat. Everything I'm going to do, even to this massive temple that's been erected, to all this pagan worship, when I talk about Jesus Christ, I want you to know I'm just running headlong into the world for which Christ died. I save to know nothing among you excepting Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So my friends, what was it about Paul? That's why I'm speaking to you today about an encouraging word.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and sometimes it's a stark reality of what was going on in biblical days and what could be going on around our world and sometimes even around the corner. In the middle of studying God's Word, though, we gain truth and insight to know that there is a way through even the most difficult of situations. Again, you're listening to The Encouraging Word, the daily broadcast ministry of Dr. Don Wilton. As our pastor and encourager, author, and well-known speaker, he is more than that in the sense of how he is discerning God's Word for our lives today. But he's just a man, and he would be quick to tell you that he is a sinner saved by grace. And what's going on in your life right now may not seem to be the direct parallel of this former tank commander in South Africa that's come to America and is now pastoring a church and leading people to Christ on a daily basis. But I can guarantee you that the space that you're in right now, the place where God is calling you to take the next steps, you don't need to do that alone. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Again, the number is 24 hours a day, 866-899-WORD. That's right, anytime, day or night, that'll route you to one of us who would love to speak with you, pray with you, connect you with some great resources. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather, let's get connected keyboard to keyboard. You can do that on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. A great place to sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email. If you're not getting it already, oh, I pray you'd consider it. It doesn't have anything to do with just straight scripture and a straight encouraging word for the day. Again, it pops into your email about 6 o'clock in the morning. Sign up online at theencouragingword.org or just text the word DAILY to 30500. That's right, one word, DAILY to 30500. We'll send you a quick link, and by this time tomorrow, you'll be receiving that Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Wilton. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, many years ago when God gave to us the encouraging word, we knew what we needed to call this preaching and teaching ministry that now goes across the world, broadcasting on TBN and Daystar, WSPA, and on radio, not only here but around the world. We knew what it was about. It was about this encouraging word, because we're living in a world where it's not politics that's going to encourage us. It's not going to be our pocketbooks. It's not going to be our wherewithal. It's not going to be our own genius. It's not going to be our brilliance. It's not going to be our organization. It's going to be this encouraging word, God's encouraging word. Because it's about Jesus. Paul said, I came to you in fear and trembling. Who am I? What am I supposed to do? I'm running into a buzzsaw. I know what I'm dealing with, and I'm scared to death in my human heart. But my God will never leave me. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So what was it here in Corinth that provided Paul with encouragement? How did he remain encouraged? And God just showed me as I began to study this five wonderful things that were of such encouragement to Paul. I just want to share them with you. Right here in this text, let's read chapter 18. It's going to make sense to you now. This is what happened. Chapter 18, verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and he went to Corinth. And there he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, whom Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked for them, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade both Jews and Greeks. Now when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments. And he said to them, your blood will be on your own heads, for I am innocent. From now on I will go to the Gentiles. And he left there and he went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. And his house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his whole household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, don't be afraid, but go on speaking. Do not be silent, for I'm with you. No one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. I'm going to stop right there. Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that he died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ. And don't leave whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Preacher Wilton, thank you for your prayers and your messages throughout the world. I have always enjoyed your words and how you break it down and explain it so I know exactly what you're saying. I was brought up as a child going to church and was saved and baptized at a camp at a church in North Carolina. I have never faithfully given my tithes on a regular basis, but I prayed about it and I feel that I got an answer from God when I got your letter about contributing to the encouraging word. I feel like it would help me to know that I was helping to spread the word of God and Jesus Christ throughout the world. Thank you for this opportunity. God bless you, Dr. Wilton, and your work.
Preacher Wilton, I just wanted you to know how my family life has changed. I gave my heart to God listening to you on the radio. Now my wife has a new husband, and my kids have a new dad, and I thank God for your ministry.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me. Thank you for your partnership with the Encouraging Word. God's doing great and wonderful things. And I want you to know that I pray for you. I want to pray for my precious friends right now and for someone especially in need of prayer. Lord Jesus, please touch them. Touch their lives and be a blessing to them today in every way. And I pray this in the strong and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Such great truth to know that God will never leave us or forsake us. And I pray that you would realize that we're here right now together in this broadcast on our side of the radio, on our side of the podcast, because God has called us to lift up the name of Jesus and to be the body of Christ, to be, in a sense, God with skin on. And I pray you would know that if you need someone to figuratively hold your hand, to reach out to you and pray you through the next step, we stand ready to do that. Our phone number is, I know you're going, phone number? Brett, who uses a phone number? We do. And every single day we see God rediscover the power of a conversation between two people who are committed to pray. We are committed. If you need prayer, we're here for you. That phone number again is 866-899-WORD. 866-899-9673. And because of the way that this is designed, it'll route you to one of us anytime, day or night, ready to pray with you and pray for you and pray you through the next step. I pray that you would not find yourself facing anything that would cause you to say you're scared to death, but instead that would cause you to say, I need the body of Christ. And it could be that one of the great tools we can do, something we do often, is help you find a local body of Christ near where you are right now. My goodness, we would love to welcome you into our church, but if proximity won't allow that, then let us help you find a Bible-based, a focused, Christ-centered church that will nurture you and encourage you and give you a chance to roll up your sleeves and get involved as well. Again, the phone number is 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you and connect you with great resources that will help you grow. If you'd rather, the keyboard's easy to connect as well on our website, theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. We'll finish more of this great message from Dr. Wilton tomorrow, so we hope to see you joining us then.